Okay, guys, welcome to the Non-Immigrant Student IG Live on how to secure an undergraduate admission in an Ivy League school. And with me today, I have Kato David Adam from Rwanda, Daniel from Nigeria, and Fatma from the Democratic Republic of Congo. Although I think she's having network issues now. Okay, she's back. Thank you all for joining me today. And before we start, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Tolu Lope Olukomi. I'm a graduate student at Cornell University, currently studying engineering management. And with me today, I have all undergrads who have inspired me. Their stories have inspired me and decided to join, to bring them on the IG Live today. So I actually know Fatma and Daniel a bit personally, but today is the first time I'm seeing Kato David Adam in person. And I want to thank you for joining us like last minute. We needed someone else from another Ivy League. And thank you for joining me. Also, I'll let you guys introduce yourselves, starting with Fatma, Daniel, then David, and tell us where you're from, what program you're studying, and when you want to graduate. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I hope you can hear me well. I'm Fatma Shabani. I'm from the Republic of Congo. I am studying landscape architecture at Cornell and hoping to graduate in 2024. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, I'm Daniel Idakuji. I'm from Nigeria. I'm currently studying chemical engineering and I'll be graduating in 2024.
Mm-hmm. Hi, everybody. My name is David Adamkato and I'm from Rwanda. I'm going to Penn right now. I'm studying political science. I'm also a pre-med student, so I'll be to the middle school and will be graduating in 2024.
Wow. When Fatma told me you're also a pre-med student and a political science student, how does that work? Are you allowed to study any kind of science?
Because pre-med is mainly literally just a list of courses that you're mm-hmm. getting done and so that you can use them to apply to medical school, but you're normally allowed to pursue an undergraduate degree. You want. So it's a little bit of more work, of course, if you're doing a non-bio major, but it's actually possible.
Okay. Thank you. Daniel, smile. It's not that serious. Relax. Are there any undergrads here? Please shout out to us in the comment section so we know how many actual undergrads are here. And please, I've received some questions prior that we're going to ask them, but if you have any more questions, please put it in the question section so that we won't miss it along the chat. Okay, so it's usually tradition for me to invite you guys. First of all, you guys are my first undergraduate guest on this show, so thank you so much for coming here. So I usually ask people to share how we met. Well, I've already shared how I've met David right now, but I would like all of you to share how we met, and then I'll try to corroborate the story. Yeah, so I'll start with you, Daniel.
I met Tolu through one of my friends, Namdi. He was a graduate student here at Cornell. Mm-hmm. He finished last year. He currently works at Microsoft. Mm-hmm. So, he was really nice. Was super helpful. And between them, they invited me to events. They helped me to get a stable sense of place and feeling like here when I just came. Especially since it was COVID year, they were really helpful. They were really nice to me. Thanks again for that.
You're welcome. Yes, I met Daniel through Unandi. Unandi has been a guest on this podcast as well. He was the first guest for this season, as you all might know. So yes, Daniel, thank you for being, and thank you too for also helping me in every way you can. Thank you. You've been the younger brother I've never had. So yeah, it's been nice to meet you. Okay, yeah, Fatma.
I met Tomu the first day it snowed here in Ithaca. It was my first time experiencing snow. And I wanted to take a picture. And I saw her and I was like, can you take me a picture? And she took me a picture. She was like, I also want a picture. And then it sent numbers. She told me she was from Nigeria. He told me I was from Congo. And it went from there.
Yeah, I know. My meeting with Fatma has been most serendipitous. Like, I was going for my first COVID test after I resumed here in November, and I didn't know the way. And then I saw her, I'm like, please, do you know the way to Battle Hall? And then she's like, no, but then can you help me take a picture? I said, of course, I'm here for that. And then we took pictures, we spoke for a while, and then since then I took her number. And I got to know that she's this very focused person, you know, and I was like, you know what, I should stay in contact with you because I also have a sister who's planning to come to the US to school. And today she's finally sharing all that she has to say. And I met David through Fatma. So So thank you for joining us. Okay, so let's start right into today. I have a few questions for you all to share your story. So it's a big deal for Africans to come here on funding. I know Fatma and Daniel. Okay, well, I'll let you share your story. And it's just always a big deal and a good thing to see when people leave, you know, Africa and come here to school, you know, in the best, and they're comfortable. You know, it's like a dream come true for a lot of people. And that's why I've invited you here today. And I usually get a lot of questions that I don't have answers to in my DMs. I'm like, you know what, I need to host this IG Live. So I'll start with you, David. What has your journey been like? What were you doing in Rwanda before coming, you know? And for you, Fatma, what were you doing in DRC before coming? And for you, Daniel, what were you doing in Nigeria before you came? So what has the journey been like? I'll start with you, David.
So actually, it was a lot of things going on. So first, of course, finishing high school, about 2018. And then after that, I applied to a gap year program called Bridge to Rwanda. That's actually how I ended up meeting Fatma. And so it's basically an intensive English and writing program, very rigorous in that front, and mainly there to kind of help students first get ready for college, expose them to intensive reading and writing, and of course, the college application and the entire processes and whatever go with it. So that's mainly what I was doing. I'm not sure if the question is what I was doing in high school before I joined the program, but directly before college, that's mainly what I was doing. Yeah. Took about 16 months of my time, quite enjoyable.
Yeah.
That's mainly what I was doing, was in the grad program.
Okay, and Fatma, for you, what were you doing before you came to the US? I know all of you, you guys are all sophomores, right? This is your second year in uni. Okay.
So it's the same story as Kato. That's how we met to the gap year program. So I graduated high school in 2018, and then I applied to the gap year program with Shrinker from the State. I got in, and then yeah, they helped us apply.
Okay. And for you, Daniel, what has your journey been like before you? I know you've spent about 2 years now in the US, so. What was that journey like before you got into Cornell?
Okay, so mine is a little more dramatic. First of all, like the rest of me finished school. Then I enrolled in Education USA's Study in the US Preparation Program. And I did that alongside Premier University and Premier Secondary Schools University Program. So it was for help on SAT preparation and, you know, the process of applying to schools and just presenting yourself in the best light to colleges. And I had a lot of people that I worked with, that I prepared with, and, you know, that really helped me polish my application, like, all through that time. And so my first year of applying, I didn't get in, right, because I wasn't exactly stable. I was trying to run different things at the same time. But, you know, the next year, I was actually able to put my foot down, settle down, and focus completely on it. And the Education USA's program was, like, really helpful, really amazing. And I applied early decision to Cornell, and thankfully, praise the Lord, I got in.
Yeah. So did you pay for the Education USA program?
No. So the Education USA program has, should I say, tiers. Right, so I had 8 A's in my WIAC exams, and because of that, I was able to get into the program for free.
Okay, I see.
Traditionally, if you get more than 6 A's in your WIAC exams, you can get in for free. As long as you can get accepted to the program, you can get in for free. You'll get SAT preparation, you'll get advising, you'll get a whole host of other...
And they'll pay for your application fee.
To help you. What?
Did they pay for your application fees to universities as well?
Well, no, but they helped me get waivers.
Waivers, okay, perfect, perfect. Okay.
Yeah, and then for some other students, even if you don't have up to 6 days, but you have very good results and very good extracurricular activities, you can also apply to the Opportunity Funds program. Right? And you will also get like those fees sorted out for you once you get in.
Yeah, and for Kato and Fatma, the prep school you guys went to in Rwanda and DRC, well, where was the school located? Congo or Rwanda?
It's in Rwanda.
Oh, sorry. I've been corrected that it's Rwanda and not Rwanda.
It's a program.
Okay.
A gap year program. It's like a 16-month program.
Do you pay to get in as well?
What did you say?
Did you pay to get in?
No, I didn't pay to get in. So, it's free. But the program is free. You just have to apply. I don't know what they look for. Like, you have to be good. Like, I mean, academically stable. Like, be at a good standing academically. Also, I think that's what they look for. Also, they ask you questions. It's like an online application. They ask you questions, like, just questions they will ask you in an interview. Mm-hmm. And then you do an interview after that, and shit, like, and you're taken.
Okay.
So, the program takes people from four different countries: Congo, Rwanda, South Sudan, and Burundi. So, I was
in. Fatma, I need you to increase your voice a little bit.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I get that a lot.
Okay, what has your application, what was your application story? So this is a question I'm putting out to three of you. So when you were in high school, why did you decide I'm going to study in Cornell or I'm going to study at University of Pennsylvania? So how did you put your application? No, let me not jump. What's the application story? Why didn't you choose to study in your country? Why did you choose to come to the US to study? I'll start with you, Fatma.
Good question. Well, why I didn't stay in Congo? First of all, I thought, and I still think, education in the US is kind of better than education in a country. Also, getting exposed to like other cultures, growing outside of the country was something I wanted. And I think I was working hard enough in high school to be able to apply abroad. And I think it went from there. Like, after high school, I started applying to different stuff. Like, before even getting into the program, the different program, I got into a school in Canada. I applied there myself. Like, I didn't have any help. I was just applying online. Like, I was like, I did well in sports, high school sports. And then I was like, I can use this and apply abroad, like to the schools, why stay in the country? So I started applying. Mm-hmm. I was looking for scholarships because, you know, education abroad is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a lot of research after high school. And I got into a program I don't even remember what the program is. I got into that program for getting into the Shrender. And then I online research, and then I got into a program before getting into Bushrander, and then they had me apply to Canada, and then I got in, but you know, I chose Bushrander. That's another story.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just a decision. This is like a personal decision of like, I can do it. There are opportunities out there,
mm-hmm,
that people don't know about. And I was like, I'm just gonna do research and I'm sure I'm gonna get something. Like, I was introduced to Bushrander by other scholars from my high school who went through Bushrander, and they came to talk to us when I was like in my last year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that would be in the US. So they came to talk to us and they told us that there is many opportunities, just we have to look for them and we'll find them, find good scholarships, get good education. So
I'm sorry to cut you there. So how many schools did you apply to?
In the US?
No, like, yes. I know you applied to one in Canada, to Cornell. What other schools did you apply to?
Those were the only schools I applied to.
Are you
I applied at the decisions, Cornell and the Garden.
Oh, nice. Okay, so I'll start with you. Next person, Kato. So what was your application story like? Why did you decide to come to the US? And how many schools did you apply to?
Cool. A lot of questions right there. I want to touch on a few things Fatima was mentioning. First of all, knowing that the program is very small and that not everybody can go through it. And that's not the only way to go to the U.S. I'll talk less about that, but mainly talk about the idea that we're trying to get at and why that's important for applying to college, and then I'll talk about why the U.S. So I think the main idea behind the program is mainly self-growth, is challenging yourself first to grow beyond the level that you are, second to get exposed to different cultures, and through your college preparation in general. So we are talking about what is your reading level, like what is your writing level, like what is your typing level, where is it at? And there are those small things that we normally don't pay a lot of attention to, but that are important when you start thinking about how will I be able to thrive in an education system outside of the ones at home. Now, talking about Poland and talking about the countries that we come from, the sad fact is, yes, there are ways to go until we actually get to an education system that we need to see, an education system that can that is up to par with the global challenges and modern challenges that we face each and every day. And that's mainly why I chose the U.S., because currently they're equipped with those tools. But I think it's more than just like going to seek knowledge and going to seek, intellectual knowledge and intellectual growth. I think part of that vision is in a long-term ambition to bring that home, to bring that to the countries that you come from, and to actually create hubs of knowledge and hubs of learning from the countries that you come from, so that at least people who come after us don't have to travel 9,000 miles, 20-hour flights minus layover to just get to school, but to actually do a 1-hour, 30-minute drive to a competent education complex right next to them. So I think that is it for me. It's mainly the where the tools currently are and where I wish the tools would be. That's mm-hmm. why I chose the U.S. Mm-hmm. And
how many schools did you apply to?
The schools that I applied to, I applied to only one school, so I applied to UD. And luckily I got it, so the Lord saved me from all the work. But
so what's this ED? I've heard it now 3 times. So what's this early decision thing? Does every school in the U.S. have it? Is that what you advise?
Actually, a lot of schools do. Most Ivy Leagues do, and other very, very good colleges around the U.S. So most schools actually have early decision, mm-hmm. which is an application period from usually November 1st to, mm-hmm. if, what is it? Oh, actually, no, it ends at November 1st, yes. Mm-hmm. It ends at November 1st, and then they review the applications until mid-December, which mm-hmm. is when students receive their decisions. But there's also like a limited time in the schools you apply to. If you apply to ED, you only apply to one school, which means it's a binding application, and if you're accepted, you have to attend that school. So that's why mostly, if you apply ED, you only apply to one school. So,
Okay, thank you so much for sharing that. So for you, Daniel, why did you choose to apply to the U.S.? And if you don't mind, you can also share your story of like having to transfer and all that.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, so this when it began with Education USA advisors coming to my secondary school. This was back in my last year of secondary school. So they came, they told us about the opportunities. They gave us like stories of people who had come through the system and who were now placed in prestigious colleges here in the U.S. And I found that really interesting because mm-hmm. it was a big opportunity mm-hmm. then at that point, right? So, as you know, Katuba says, there's this divide in education quality mm-hmm. and that we can see, and education in the U.S. is really good. Mm-hmm. So I think why I personally chose to come to the U.S. is that I have interest in research. Mm-hmm. Research is kind of is at the forefront of my ambition for the future, and a U.S. education is kind of like a gateway to that. Mm-hmm. So there's a stronger focus on hands-on work as opposed to just theoretical work, and that's something I really found attractive. And then it also has several connections to industry, to other universities, to sources of funding. And then when you get all of those, it's a good way to start your career. Then there's also the diversity, right? So I could meet people from all over the world, meet people, like get to see different perspectives, different points of view, get to learn about the world in general, and see things in a way that I hadn't seen it before. So, you know, when I'm coming back to Nigeria, when I'm trying to do something, I take all of that knowledge and all of that information and I put it to use wherever I am. I think that's the way I can make the most impact. That's the way I can be the best version of me I could be. And,
so how many schools did you apply to?
How many?
Schools did you apply to?
So I applied to Cornell Early Decision.
Early Decision is the hack right now. That's the hack. Of course, I mean, you all obviously look like you have like good pedigree, you know, and all that, but I see Early Decision is the hack. Okay, interesting. Also, before we go into the...
A higher rate of acceptance because you're basically committing to the school if you're accepted, you know, as opposed to applying regular decision and then you're having to pick schools that accept you. So it's safer for colleges if people apply early decision because they know, okay, if this person is accepted, he definitely comes here.
And so what's the application fee? What's the application fee? Like, how much is it to apply to Cornell and to UPenn? Like, if you didn't get a waiver, how much is it?
So the application fee is... I can't remember. I think it's about $70 to
$75. Fatma, do you remember the amount?
No, I got a waiver, I don't remember.
Okay. Is Kato still here? What's the amount for UPenn? Okay, I don't think he's here. Daniel, while you're still at it, what exams did you take to come here? Well, before we like dive into the questions that were asked, I also want to ask, like, what exams did you guys take? So did you apply with your exams from your countries in Africa, or you wrote the SAT or the ACT? And which one do you advise for Africans to take? Either the SAT or the ACT? I'll start with you, Daniel.
Okay, so for me, it was my WAEC results and the SAT. I started preparing for the SAT like back when I was in school, so that really helped me. It helped me go far, and I got a very good score, so obviously I was excited to apply with that.
Do you mind sharing the range? No?
I had 1540 on the SAT.
Okay, over 1.6.
Right.
And do you know people who got less than that? So not to scare anyone. Do you know people who got less than that still got in? Oh no.
So I know people on both ends, people who got higher than I did and people who got lower than I did. There's a friend of mine, Victor Sani. He goes to Dartmouth now. He got in 1550. Very fantastic students. Very fantastic boy. Then there is...
you don't have to call names. You don't have to call names. Yeah, I'm just like, if someone is like, can I get 1560, can I still apply? You know, that's why I asked that question.
So there's also people that got 1480, people that got 1520, people that got 1450. And, you know, I placed in different colleges in the US. There's someone that
1450. I got 1490. Really? I got 1440 in my SAT during undergrad. That's a long time ago, yeah.
So, in the end, the SAT is one part of the process. Mm. There's still who you are as a person, your involvement in your school activities, just what your teachers have to say about you. All those things factor into the admissions process. So, even if you don't get a perfect 1600 or 1600, you still have a very good shot of getting into college if, you know, as a person, you have been involved, you've shown leadership qualities, and you know, you're generally the type of person that the colleges want.
Okay, I see. Okay. Fatma, for you, what exams did you take, and which ones would you recommend people from your country take, the SAT or the ACT?
I took the SAT, and I took the TOEFL, which is the...
TOEFL, English.
I don't remember what... For English.
First language as English or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because my country, it's a Francophone country, so we learned in French, so we had to show up for both English proficiency. I took the SAT because, probably it's alien. SAT, there's a lot of science. Also from someone, well, if you're good at science, I'll say take SAT, but knowing that you studied in French, you have to translate everything in English, that might be hard, but it's doable. I didn't even try. I mean, I saw the exam once, and I was like, chemistry, bio, I don't know, physics, like, yeah, I know. But SAT is easier because it's just math and English, like writing and grammar, I think. Mm-hmm. So that was easier for me.
Sorry to cut you. Daniel, did you take a proficiency test as well in English?
Well, no. Nigeria is an English-speaking country, so we didn't have to take the test of English. Yes.
I see. For you, Kato.
Your high school education is in. So you should be able to bypass the English speaking requirement. Yes.
Okay. For you, Kato. So, which exam did you take, and which one would you recommend, ACT or SAT?
Right. I took the SAT, and I think echoing Fatma's thoughts. Mm. Yes, I think the SAT might be easier, and it's something in many ways easier to prepare for if you kind of need to brush up a couple of skills, mostly because it's math and English, and you can kind of see growth a little bit faster that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I do recommend the SAT. Though I will make this note. Look out for requirements on for your particular school. I did English in my high school as well. English is a professional language in Rwanda, and the official language of instruction, but I still had to do the TOEFL exam. Sometimes schools will still want to, they'll look at your transcripts and still be like, oh, show us a proof of proficiency.
Mm-hmm.
I think my English was honestly fine, but it doesn't hurt to have that extra layer of testing to be like, you know, just in case you're wondering, I actually did the TOEFL and this is how it went.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, any test that you can do that can vouch for you, do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I did the TOEFL and I still had to do Duolingo, you know, it is what it is, right? So, but it's okay. It's okay. If you can get those tests and it's, and your school also requires them, definitely mm-hmm. just go ahead and take them.
Okay. Thank you for sharing. Okay, so Fatma, I will ask you this question, and although Daniel touched a bit on this, so now I'm asking questions we got from IG. For your application, how much did the grades affect your chances as opposed to extracurriculars? I know three of you have already echoed how you all got good grades from school and all that, but how would you say the role of extracurriculars played a big role into also getting to Cornell?
It definitely played a role, but I talked to the admission officer, the guy who admitted me at Cornell. He asked me a question, and he was like, why do you think we took you? And I was like, because of my essay. And I was like, yeah, I read your essay, and that's why we took you. So I am not sure if they even read my the extracurricular activities. They just told me that we read your essay, and it was perfect. So something also I wanted to add, talking about scores. First of all, at Cornell, they don't take that anymore. The SAT or ACT, I think TOEFL as well. So they don't take that anymore.
Really?
And yeah.
So what did they take?
They didn't require that.
Oh, so what? Yeah, so what did they ask for? So what they ask for now?
Application.
Sorry.
So essays and extracurricular activities.
Oh.
Yeah, you don't have to do that anymore at Cornell. They didn't submit that.
Interesting. Wow, that's so interesting. So you mean the only ad, so your essay has to be top notch. Okay, so what are two tips you would give to anyone like writing an essay to come to Cornell? What would you say made your essay a strong suit for your application?
I would say tell your story, talk about you. They're going to admit you as a person.
Mm.
Especially now that they're taking the test. So like they wanna know you, they wanna know. Like, you don't try to write things that you think are going to impress them. Just be yourself. Write something. Like, if they ask you why Cornell, say why you are applying to Cornell. Don't say I'm applying to Cornell because it's an Ivy League, it's a good school, it's the best school in the world. It's, they know that. So write something about you. They want to know you. Give them reasons to admit you. Why are you different? Why would you take you and not the other person?
And what extracurricular activities would you say you engaged in while you were in DRC? What kind of how do people your age back home look for those activities in case they don't have that? And do you submit a resume? You guys don't submit a resume, no?
Okay, that was a good point. So, those are two questions. I'm going to submit the resume. I didn't submit the resume, but they I could have submitted the resume. So, what I'm going to say about that is, if they ask you to submit something and you think you can, please do it, because it's just an addition. Like, maybe if you didn't convince them with your essay, you're going to convince them with your resume. If you didn't convince them with your resume, you're going to convince them with the extracurricular activity. If you didn't convince them with your TOEFL, you're going to convince them with your Duolingo. So give them the reasons to take you. What was the first question again? Extracurricular activities. So I would say every country, there are some leadership position in high school, and that's what many people do. There are also games, sports, that's one way. They're volunteering, in the last 5 years, a lot of volunteering positions and activities. So that's something that students do, and I would encourage high school students to do
that. Okay. For people going to, this question is at you, Kato. Thank you so much, Fatma, for sharing. Although I know you're doing it pre-med-ish, but the person says, for people going to law school, what is the best undergrad course to take? I know you're taking political science as well. So that's why.
Law school is in graduate school, right? Just to make sure I'm getting this right.
Yeah, so I think the person wants to study law in future, like wants to go to law school, but doesn't have an idea of what's the perfect class and course the program to apply for in undergrad. So should she go for history, political science, or like what, or ILR? What would you say? Or if any of you, have an idea of if you have friends, okay.
I would like to talk to you. Okay. Answer first, but then answer second.
Actually, I think we would. I don't have any friends in law school. But I think I would like to let Fatma go first.
Okay.
I'll go second. Is that okay?
Yes, please. Okay, fine.
So for law school, it's just like medical school. Not really, but like you can do whatever you want. But the majors that are out there for law school, you can do IRS, previous college, I don't know too much in other schools. You can do government. You can do...
And ILR is Industrial Labor Relations, right? Just to like clarify.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So there's also a pre-law major. It's where you take pre-law classes. It's up to you. I have so many friends who want to apply to law school, and they're doing all that. That's why I'm pointing out that. I have one who is in ILR. I have another one doing pre-law. But the major is pre-law. I don't know if it's just a major. And then another one doing government. So what you have to do once you get to, like, do what you want to do, right? Do what you want. I know you want to do law school, but, like, there's also other things you would like to do. Like, I was doing political science, but you want to do medical school. So you can do that, too. And talk to your advisors. I would say pick a major, but then talk to your advisor. The advisor will let you know classes you have to take. It doesn't matter your major, like classes that you will need to apply.
Okay. Daniel, David, do you have anything to add? Because it's almost 12. Do you have anything to add, or I can go to the next question?
Absolutely. Covered everything. I wanted to make a quick comment on the previous question on extracurricular activities. So, guys. There is a very high tendency to think in a limited framework that only a couple of things can get you into school. I want to tell you that your personality matters, and that's exactly what they're looking for. I want to echo something Fatma said, which is you never know what's going to convince them or hook their attention. A lot of admission officers might be reading your application, One of them is by the essay, another of them is by the scores, and your story or your activities. So just to be you, someone did debate, you did volleyball, someone did football. Just be you. You don't all have to do debate. You don't all have to do football. You don't all have to be head boys or head girls. There's so many ways to explore leadership, volunteering, caring about your community, and so many things. So one, just be you. Your personality matters. And of course, don't think in that kind of limited mindset that thinks that, oh, there's only one type of person that can get into a school. That's definitely not true.
Okay, and for you, Daniel,
also, when you think about extracurricular activities, don't think big. I mean, don't just pick the big leadership positions. I think I put babysitting online. I remember babysitting. I don't remember the other ones I put, but like, anything you think you did that was extracurricular activity, put it there. It doesn't have to be president of this, president of this, founder of this. Put it wherever you did.
Yeah. Okay, Daniel, do you have anything to also say to the extracurricular activities and any tips on writing a stellar essay?
Okay, so first of all, about the extracurricular activities, it's as they've said, you know, it should be something you like, something that represents you. Don't just do stuff because you think this is what the college would like to see. I do stuff because you like it. Because when you like it, it's easier to like do it more and more, get leadership positions in it, and you know, it's easier to write about it. It's easier to show yourself using that thing when you actually like it, when you actually want to do it. Okay, of course, you should get involved. Of course, you should... actually, you should do things that you need to do, and then you should also do things that you like to do, right? So when you do those things, they give you a competitive edge, and it doesn't have to be any particular, there's no particular formula for it, right? It's just any way you can make an impact. If it's something you like, do it, right? When the time comes, you'll be able to talk about it easily, fluidly, and then the impact that you make will speak for it.
Yeah.
So that's just it.
So for you, what would you say were your extracurricular?
It's a more surefire way of getting in than, say, something STEM-related. Like, it's just what you do, you know, what you like to do, how you can make an impact. That is what matters. That is what schools are willing to see. Schools are willing to see you. Like, what is it that you bring? Right? There's already different students that are applying and saying, oh, I do this, oh, I do that, oh, I do this. So this focus on following a particular path is going to make you look generic and, you know, boring. And I really don't think that's the way anyone should go. So just do what you like, do what is you, do what represents you. So you're happy doing it, and then you can easily talk about them and easily show, use them to show yourself off to the admissions officers. It's about you, it's who you are, and that is what's the most important thing there.
Yeah, and coming from Nigeria, Daniel, what would you say were some of the extracurricular activities you engaged in?
So I did some volunteering at an orphanage next to my house. I did some back when I was in Ilorin. I was an active member of the Jet Club in my school, the debate club. I was the head of the project and exhibition committee. My school, so basically we set up science projects and competed with other schools, right? And I think that's a broad overview of it.
Okay, thank you.
We have to do a lot of more in-depth stuff, but yeah, that's the general idea.
Thank you for sharing that. So we're running almost out of time. So the big question, funding. So how did you apply for either funding or financial aid? We know, like, compared, I don't know what the rate is in Rwanda and the DRC, like the dollar to your currency, but in Nigeria, it keeps crashing. So, and that's why most times it's not advisable to sponsor your own education when you come here. So how do you apply for financial aid and funding? I will start with you, David, then Daniel, then Fatma.
Yeah. Allow me to have a quick tangent and then answer that. I just want to make a quick note on the SAT requirements before that. Most schools removed those requirements during COVID that did not require SAT. That might change. So make sure to check in when you start your application cycle to make sure. Some were just like temporarily waived the city.
Oh, I see.
Now to fund it. There is most, so like I think most Ivy League schools and schools that have like a lot of money have like what they call need blind financial aid, which means when which means when you apply to school, to their school, they do not consider your financial information first. They consider your application as they would consider anybody else's. Mm-hmm. And if they like you and they admit you, they give you as much financial aid as you need to meet the needs that you have. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is, so first they admit the student and then you talk about finances later. Mm-hmm. And it's and so they assess your family's ability to pay. And after they determine what amount your family can pay, they pay the rest. Mm-hmm. And that's it. So what that means is apply, okay? There's a good chance you'll get a good financial aid, mostly because, especially for schools like Ivy League schools and other schools that are not Ivy League, but are like big schools like Swarthmore, Amherst, TCU, and so many, I can always list them all, okay? What I'm trying to say is that just apply. Most likely they'll admit you, and if they do, they will give you the financial aid you need to meet the need that you have, as you reported in the CSS profile. Mm. So apply, please apply, okay? So yeah.
Okay, Fatma?
I'm just gonna echo what Clara said. The CSS profile, I think you...
What's the CSS profile?
I don't want it to go, but you can go to the SS profile. Fill that out, and then if you apply through Common App, I think that's how you can get financial aid. I'm not sure, but like I think there is a process. You have to apply, I think, through Common App, and then they will let you send your CSS profile. And yeah, you can also you have to pay to submit it, but you can also apply for it as well.
Okay, Daniel, so wait, are all of you on full funding? Can I? Yes or no?
Coconut, it's not midline, it's mid-bait. So like what you need.
Mid-bait.
It's based on what you need.
Okay.
So yeah, just what Katja said.
It's the same thing. Yeah.
Okay, for you, okay, what's your funding story, Daniel?
Sorry, can you come again?
What's your funding story? So how were you able to apply for funding and get funding?
Okay, so Cornell has really, really good financial aid, right? So if you apply, once you get in, right, they'll calculate how much you need to come to the school, and then they'll pay all of that. So if your parents make a lot, then you know they can, they'll give you a certain amount to pay, and then the financial aid will cover the rest. If your parents make very little, that's completely fine. That's completely good. You probably will not have to pay anything at all, right? So, money should not be. You shouldn't like factor money in when you're trying to decide whether to apply. If you get in, if you're good enough to get in,
okay.
Okay. If you get in, right? If Cornell wants you to come, they'll pay the money for you to come. So, you should just focus on getting good results, being the best version of yourself, and apply to. That's it. There's also external scholarships. I don't think Cornell deals very much in that, but a lot of other schools do, right? Because I've heard from my friends, and sometimes you might have to apply for these external scholarships to get money to supplement your money your parents have to pay.
Yeah, and just to cut you, does this funding come with accommodation and stipend, or is just your tuition?
So it comes as a function of your total expected like contribution, like everything you're supposed to pay, right? So you factor in tuition, room and board, housing, miscellaneous expenses, and everything you need to settle in and be comfortable physically.
Okay.
All of that is factored in. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Daniel. And this question is for you, Daniel. How do I score high on the reading section of STAT? If any of you scored really high in your reading section, so how did they score high? How did people pay for it?
Okay, so I'll just go ahead and say this: practice. Practice makes perfect. So, I mean, as they've said, for I think this year and next year, there's no SAT requirements. Or was it for last year and this year?
They'll check.
Yes. So, but I mean, beyond that, if you want to apply, you need to practice. It's standardized. They've been doing this for a long time, so there's patterns that they follow. Right? So if you can get used to those patterns, you can solve questions and get very good marks on them.
Did you prepare by yourself?
Using practice questions works very, very well. Okay. Right? And it's not just, you know, looking at it and looking at the right answer. It's looking at why you failed and why this is correct. Even for the ones you got, you have to make sure you're not just getting them by luck, by chance. You have to look at this and say, okay, this is why this happens. This is why, you know, this is the right answer. This is why, you know, this is what I'm supposed to put in. And then if you keep doing that, at some point you see this, you know, this is what I should do, this is how this should be, and then you're able to correct yourself, you're able to, even if you don't know exactly what you're supposed to be able to, you're able to make more informed guesses, right? You can narrow it down to like one or two options, and then at that point your score goes up dramatically.
Okay, we have like 7 minutes left, so I'm sorry for cutting you. We have about two more questions. I don't know if you guys have the answer to this, but I'll just ask. What do I need to do? Can I get citizenship while schooling in America? Who wants to take that? Kato, Daniel, Fatma. Anyone? No. And okay, first of all, okay, this is a question I want to ask at the end. Nobody has an answer to that. Okay, no problem. So Fatma, this is for you. I know we've all talked about early decision, but what is restrictive decision and what's the difference? So I think I get what it is now since you guys described it, but do you want to touch on that again? And someone asked in the chat, Daniel, I don't know if you could answer the person, what are the names of the external scholarships? And so Fatma, for you, what's the difference between restrictive and early decision?
Restrictive? I know early decision and regular decision. Is that what you're talking about?
Maybe the person typed restrictive, so I don't know. But I think you mentioned that regular decision is later, while early decision, like Kato said, close is November 1st or so.
Yeah, so for early decision, when you apply for early decision, you commit to the school. If they take you, you have to. Can you hear me?
I'm trying to tell you to increase your voice.
Okay, so early decision, when you apply for early decision, you commit to the school. If they take you, you have to go. And then regular decision, you apply to many schools, and then if the school takes you, I mean, and then if you're lucky, you get into many schools, you can choose one and then reject the other ones. I don't know which one is best. Like, early decision, you're like, you're telling the school, I like your school, I want to be here, because you commit to the school. I think that would be best because, I don't know, you have more chances of getting in.
So what if
he wants to be part of it? So like for the regular decision, they might take you, but they don't know if you're going to take, you're going to go to the school. So
yeah. I have a question, Fatma. So if I apply early decision to Cornell, early decision to Harvard, what happens then? And I get into both of them, what happens? I can't turn them down.
I don't know if you can do that. I mean, I don't know if. Okay, I don't think Common Act can let you do that. Maybe someone else can answer that, but you shouldn't do that. Because so, when you apply to one school, you're like, I mean, you're not sure that they're going to take you, but if they take you, you have to go.
Someone,
I don't know what they do if you don't go.
Someone asks, what about early action? What does that mean?
Good questions.
I can take that one. So as Frickma said, early decision is binding and you apply to one school, which, and if you get accepted, you must enroll. So it's usually by the November 1st deadline. The early action one is also during the same time, but it's not binding. So it's early action, but it's not binding. Not many schools do that, but there's some schools that do, and it's up to you to know which application cycle that you're applying in. Mm-hmm. But there's also restrictive early action, which is like early decision, and you need, so if you, which means if you apply to that school, you cannot apply to any other. And that's because you need to like sign something and be like, I will not apply to English.
Oh my God.
Similar to what our decision is. And then regular decision, which is the deadline of January 1st, which you can apply to as many schools as you want and attend whichever one of your choice, should you get in.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you guys so much. So it's almost 12. But I want to know. I really want to know. I can hear a lot of hard work has gone into you guys being here, and I'm really happy for you all. I mean, I don't regret schooling in Nigeria or anything for my undergrad, but I'm happy that you guys, you know, are playing the path that you are on right now. So what would you say for each of you has been your best thing about studying in an Ivy League? What's one thing you're really grateful for, you know, for studying in an Ivy League or something you think your other friends don't have? Although, do you think Ivy Leagues are really, there's nothing right, but let me just let you say, what's one thing you're really grateful for or happy for to be in an Ivy League? I'm going to start with you, Daniel. Daniel, should I go again? Can you guys hear me?
Is Daniel going to go?
Yeah, I said I'll start with you, Daniel.
Okay, it's me, sure. So, I think something that appeals to me very much about this school, something that I find very, very, you know, good about this school is that there's just so much support, right? So in case, like, you ever need, you know, someone to talk to, something to talk about, if you're feeling like, you know, the work is a lot, if you're feeling like you need some more time to get over this, there's so much support for this, right? You can reach out to people, you can talk to people, and then, you know, you can reduce your course load, you can extend it. There's opportunities to take the courses again in summer, and if you're on financial aid, you can get funding to do that, right? There's support, like, in the classes. If you feel, okay, this class is a little bit difficult, there's extra class sessions, right? Officially organized, like, by the school, by the Learning Strategy Center here at Cornell, where you can get, like, extra help, extra support. And I would encourage anyone that here really to take advantage of those, because sometimes it gets hard, sometimes it gets bulky, sometimes you just don't have the time to catch up on all that material by yourself. And if you let that continue, if you let that spiral, it will affect you in the long run. If you decide to do everything by yourself, it's not exactly the best, right? But then there's so much, but then they know this, and because of that, they've put in, like, so much support in place. So in case you feel like at any point you're out of your depth, you can always, like, talk to someone, and then you can work out something that works for you, right? So this safety net is there, and that's one of the really, really amazing things about being here at Cornell. I've taken advantage of that, like, a few times, and I'd say that it really works.
Okay. I'll go to you, Kato, next. Please keep in mind the time is up, so that they don't kick us out. So if you don't mind, like, being brief. So what's one thing you're grateful for in UPenn?
Yeah, I'm going to be very quick, 30 seconds. I'll start with one thing I don't like, and it's the idea that Ivy League schools are the only places that you can get a good education. You can easily take out all the Ivy Leagues and find 10, 15, 20 schools that can do easily the same, and that you would be equally as happy and equally as educated.
Mm-hmm.
But echoing Daniel's thoughts, I like going to school here as I would go to school anywhere because of the resources and support that they have, and the ground that is present for me to explore my intellectual curiosity. I've been very excited about that still day one. I'm so excited about it and looking forward to where that will take me.
Thank you for sharing. And for you, Fatma, or something. I know, like, you're really popular in your year and, you know, doing stuff here in Cornell. But, so what's one thing you like about Cornell?
I'm going to answer about the Ivy League. So I know a person who applied to Harvard and to Vanderbilt, and the person got into both schools, and the person chose Vanderbilt because Vanderbilt is a better school for the major the person wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So if I were in a situation where I had to advise someone, I would ask the person to go to Vanderbilt, just like the person did.
Mm-hmm.
I have another story. I know two siblings. One went to Cornell, mechanical engineering. Another one went to a state school, mechanical engineering. The person who went to a state school was exposed to so many opportunities in the state, like so many, many opportunities. And the other person was at Cornell. They both were their siblings. They graduated. The one at Cornell, it's been like a year, is staying at home, doesn't have a job. And the other one, who had a long resume with a lot of things, got a job. So to answer your question, it's not about an IPD. Why did I apply to Cornell? I know two things about, well, I don't know many things about myself, but I know I want to be an architect and I know I want to work in agriculture. Cornell is the best school for those two majors.
Mm.
So that's why I applied here.
Mm.
It's not because it was an Ivy League. Yes, I'm grateful. I go to Cornell, it's an Ivy League, but I wouldn't choose a school based on that.
Mm.
So what things I like about Cornell, well, opportunities, yes. There are so many opportunities. It's a big school. And just as Daniel said, there are many opportunities. Like you can reach out to everyone and you can get support in many ways. But as I said, those two people, mechanical engineering, one has a good job, the other one doesn't. The person went to Cornell. You go to Cornell, you think, okay, I'm going to an Ivy League. I'm going to get a job when I'm going to apply. But when you go to apply, when you have an education, have a degree from Cornell without anything on your resume, and the other person has a degree from another state school with a long resume, what do you think they're going to pick? Is it about being an Ivy League or about what you do when you are in the Ivy League? That's what I was saying.
Okay, girl. I hear you. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, since we're still here, in less than 30 seconds, tell us a fun fact about yourself before we go. So I'll start with you, Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a fun fact about yourself or what you do for fun while at Cornell.
Who's
Daniel? Oh, I'm not audible enough. Oh, Daniel, I'll start with Daniel.
Okay, so fun fact about myself.
Less than 30 seconds.
Let's see. I have really steady hands, so I enjoy making these little crafts, and then I'm also really good at cutting stuff and, you know, setting up blocks and, you know, that kind of thing. It's very minor, but it's really interesting to do. Yeah.
Okay, nice. Kato.
Okay, this will be funny, but I have a soft spot for baked goods, so I like cake. Just so you know, if you want to make me smile, just bring me cake. It'll be funny.
So do you bake?
So talking about baking, I'm getting there. So I'm getting there.
In fact, what was a fun fact about you, or what do you like to do for fun?
I like designing. I actually like designing. That's the only thing I think I like. Just sitting down and drawing stuff. I also like cooking. Well, it doesn't mean that I cook well, but I like doing it.
Oh, it was so nice talking to all of you. Thank you all for coming. I hope that every undergrad will have, you know, find some answers in all these questions. You guys really shared salient points about what to do, even coming to an Ivy League or a non-Ivy League school. So thank you all for coming. Thank you, especially Kato, for coming last minute. Thank you so much. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Fatma. Do you guys have any closing statements to anyone who is currently applying to the US? Any one last thing you want to say to them? Anyone? Before we go, all of you can go.
What I can say, if someone is applying, put everything you have in the application. You don't know what they're going to like. Just everything you have, even things you think that they're not important, just put them in the application. You just don't know what they're going to do.
And you, Kato?
I'd say keep the hope. If you fall down, pick yourself up. If you fall down again, pick yourself up again.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard process. It's emotionally straining, but keep pushing and, you know, reach out to anyone if you need support or just need to talk. it's a tough process, but you'll make it through.
Thank you. And for you, Daniel, any last words?
Okay, so I was just going to like echo what both of them said. You know, this is a process that is difficult, so you need all the help you can get when you're doing this. So don't hesitate to reach out. Education USA was really helpful to me, and I think it's really helpful to a lot of other people that are going to apply. So if you can check them out, please do. Then, you know, putting everything on your application, just make sure you highlight the ones that are most important to you, the ones that you feel are more representative of you. So you don't just seem like, you know, someone that does different things. You know, you can do different things, but the ones you stand out and the ones you really enjoy doing, highlight those ones. Those are the ones that will, like, that will get you much farther. That's what I have to say.
Oh, thank you, guys. You guys make me want to go back to undergrad. Thank you, guys. Thank you all. So I'm so happy that you guys came here today. Thank you, Shibumi. Thank you. I'm really happy to have you all here today. So, and I hope that, and where can they find you guys? I know you on Instagram. I tagged you on the post, but where can they find you guys if they need to, like, reach out to you?
Instagram.
So what are your handles? Fatma?
It's Fatma Shabani.
Shabani, and you? Okay, Kato, Adam, David, and Daniel at
the right
hand. Don't worry, I think I will put it. So the post that has the poster, I tagged all of you. I'll just change your handle in Daniel so everyone can see. Okay, and to everyone who joined in today from Rwanda, Democratic Republic of Congo, and from our great beloved country, Nigeria, no shade to any other African country, you know, like, This is my battle of West Africa and East Africa. We love you guys too. But thank you all so much for coming. Thank you to all my friends too who are here, who are even graduate students. And thank you to every prospective and hopefully incoming undergrad here. We hope to see you soon in the America. Please keep applying. Please keep the hope. Please keep trusting. And like Daniel said, if you fall, just get back up. Thank you guys. And have a nice Labor Day. Enjoy the rest of your week. Bye guys. And thank you to all my guests. It was so good having you. Bye.